to left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
It's Steinberg and Vickers on a Tuesday, September 17th, back from Penticton, back from the Young Stars Classic 2024, and ready to rock for training camp, which gets going later on this week. Flames Talk underway, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, Vix.
Hello, Patrick. How we doing?
Good. Haven't seen it. I've missed you.
It's been, yeah, it's
been like 11 hours.
You know what? Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Good long car ride, but we're back. We're, you know what? Was another really, I think, eye-opening and important Young Stars Classic in Penticton. I was really happy we went. I was really happy we got out there because there's a lot that I come away from that event every year. I don't know if a single one of the Flames prospects who played the three games at Young Stars, they won one, lost one, and lost one in overtime. So a 1-1-1 record. I don't know if a single one of them will make the roster out of training camp. In fact, if I were a betting man, I probably like it'd be plus odds for one of those guys making the opening night roster. But that's okay. You know, I go back to other years where certain players stand out at that event, at that weekend, and maybe it's 3 months down the road that they end up getting into NHL action. You never know. But I came away with a few overall impressions, which we'll get into in just a second. But I want to talk about Zane Parekh and spend the majority of this stretch here talking about the number 9 overall pick, because I think it is very fair to say that Zane Parekh is the most exciting prospect that Flames fans have had in the system since Matthew Tkachuk 8 years ago. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that. I think the buzz around Parekh is higher than any pick since Matthew in 2016, and that's with no disrespect to Jacob Pelche or Yusuf Välimäki or some of the other picks the Flames have had since that time, even going back to Sam Hanzak from last year. But with what Zane Parekh did this year as CHL player, CHL Defenseman of the Year, led the OHL in scoring for defensemen, wins a Memorial Cup, goes to the World Junior Showcase, all of those things, being compared by publications like FC Hockey to Erik Karlsson. Like, this is the type of buzz that fans really can sink their teeth into. So what did we see from Zane Parekh at Young Stars 2024? I'll say this. I thought he was absolutely electric in Monday's finale, that Monday afternoon game where he scored. And I thought that I came away not just because of recency bias, Vix. By the way, hello to Vix, NHL.com.
Oh, hi.
On Twitter at AA Vickers. I came away really encouraged about Zane Parekh, not because of the recency bias, but because of the progression. Because I thought he was not very good on Friday and only slightly better on Saturday. And then he was a completely different player on Monday. And I got told by a couple of people who I ran into on Sunday, the off day for the Flames game-wise, and you know, I was talked to a couple people that you're able to talk to in Penticton with the Flames, and they said, hey, just watch. Like, this is a really quick study, and I think the overall impression was not so great in the first 6 periods, but this kid is such a quick study. He is so smart that I bet you he is significantly better on Monday. And he was. The adjustment that he had to make to playing against older guys, faster guys, more physically mature guys, the adjustment was very apparent on Friday, and he got victimized nonstop. And by Monday, in the third game, he was a completely different guy. And to me, that is a massive indicator of just how smart this kid is. So I come away from Young Stars 2024 feeling really good about where Zane Parekh is, even though the majority of what I saw, I was pretty unimpressed by that last game. He looked so good against the most difficult opposition they played. That, to me, was a really encouraging sign.
Well, and I say this respectfully because he's got a million times more skill than I do, but you didn't see the skill come through on Friday and Saturday, and you saw him have a tough time trying to figure out what he could and what he couldn't get away with out there. And from my perspective, he was really playing a structure-free junior-style hockey game against players that predominantly played pro last season. And he got schooled a little bit. He got taught a few things in that Friday game and that Saturday game. But to your point, is he was able to absorb that, didn't take the hit to the confidence level. It wasn't as though he fractured as a player based on those first six periods, as you called them, six and a bit because of the overtime game, but then was able to apply the lessons learned, and he was much more noticeable in a good way on Monday versus the first two outings where, ooh, there's a turnover. Ooh, there's a bad play. There's a rush there. There's a straight up turnover that resulted in the overtime goal in game one.
But
with
three
the Winnipeg
turnovers
Jets.
On Friday led to directly scoring led. Opportunities, including the 2-on-0 game winner, right?
Yeah, and so we saw a lot of progression. There's still room to grow. There were still some things in that Monday game that I was kind of like, ooh, let's negotiate that out.
We saw some good and bad. Like the 2-2 goal on Monday was a direct result of a Parekh neutral zone turnover that led to an odd man rush the other way. So we still saw the good and the bad, but, you know,
we saw a lot more good in on the
way
Monday.
Way more good, and that's the argument. And I feel like the Carlson, a future Hall of Fame, multiple Norris Trophy winning defenseman, that's maybe a little unfair, but how often do we talk about taking the good with the bad with Erik Karlsson? And for so long, what's going to get him into the Hall of Fame as one of the best and most unique defensemen of his era is the fact the good always has outweighed the bad. And a couple of years where maybe it didn't, but the last few years where he's had that career resurgence, yeah, he still struggles at times as a pure defender, but the good and the way he controls a hockey game has always far outweighed the bad, and that's what you're looking for with Parekh, and that's what we saw on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's how are you impacting the game both positively and negatively? And if you come out with a net positive out of that, you're going to live with some of the mistakes and some of the hiccups. And let's keep it into perspective. This was an 18-year-old defenseman who was the most offensive type defenseman in his draft class just a couple months ago, now getting introduced to games against players that are 22, 23, 24 years old. And suddenly you don't necessarily always have the speed advantage. You definitely don't have the size advantage or the strength advantage. So Penticton, I think, was an overall net positive for Parekh in learning what you can and can't get away with when the style goes up, when the pace goes up, when the opponents are bigger, faster, stronger. And I think it's something that it's much better to learn those lessons at a rookie camp in Penticton than it is when maiden camp rolls around and suddenly you're just learning and feeling through the process of playing against what will likely be a lot of NHL type competition.
Let's hear a little bit from Zane. This was him on Monday afternoon following that was the final score 4-3 loss to Vancouver in the Young Stars finale. Just a little bit of Zane Parekh and his thoughts post game in Penticton, I guess post tournament, post event in Penticton.
Took a little bit for me to adjust to the speed. Obviously, I didn't have a great weekend, but you know, just trying to get ready for camp, obviously, and try and do my best.
You touched on a couple of things you want to improve upon. What did you think you did well out there?
I felt a little stronger for sure. I mean, I'm probably playing at 10 pounds heavier than you know, last playoff. So, you know, I thought I felt a little stronger out there. Our skating feels pretty good. You know, kind of just adjusting to, obviously, playing a little heavier was a little different for me. And, you know, I kind of got used to it as the games went on.
How excited are you for a main camp here, your first NHL camp?
Yeah, I'm pretty juiced. I think it's going to be, you know, honestly, a little bit easier than playing in these games for me. I think, you know, playing with obviously players that are really good, you know, that kind of makes the game easier. But at the same time, obviously, the speed is going to go up. So, you know, excited to put myself to the test.
And I'm really curious what main camp now looks like from Zane. So he goes, he takes just rapid steps in three games at Young Stars. Now he goes into his first ever main camp. I wonder if he plays a couple of preseason games next weekend or early next week. Sunday, Monday, they play three games in 2 days. Like, is Parekh in Seattle and then back home on for the game on Monday in the split squad? Could very well be. I think we'll see Parekh play a number of preseason games. Wouldn't surprise me if it looks a little rough early on. But what I'm really curious about is how it looks by the end of his training camp, NHL camp, whatever that looks like. If it's 1 week, if it's 3 weeks, if he's here right till the end, if he plays a ton of preseason games, if he only gets into a few. I just want to see how he looks at the end compared to where it started, because we just saw a rapid progression from where it started to where it ended. And I just, he's so friggin' smart that I think the, if we're talking about a really rough outing in his first preseason game, it almost feels like, you're like, okay, just wait to see what preseason game three or four looks like and how much better suited he is to the pace he's going to be.
Yeah, I'm also curious about that progression. Keep in mind, you want to talk about him being a quick study. He graduated high school at 16. So it's not as though he doesn't have the mental acumen to identify. And you heard
another example of how smart he is.
Well, and self-aware, which is very, very important for a player that's a top 10 pick or a first round pick, where we heard him say, yeah, I didn't really have a great weekend. Perfect. That's exactly what I would want. If I'm Craig Conroy, that's exactly what I would want Zane Parikh to say and feel, because finding where you are versus where you need to be and being self-aware enough to realize that, yeah, just because you were a top 10 pick or you had almost 100 points in junior in the OHL last season, that doesn't guarantee you anything moving forward. So identifying your deficiencies, even if it's a three-game mini camp exhibition series against your peers or slightly older than you, but you can identify, okay, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. I need to approach these situations differently. I'm curious to see how that carries over to a main camp situation. Yeah. Where he probably does have a rough outing or two in exhibition play, but it's how he adapts and how he grows from that is what I'm most interested in seeing out of Parikh.
Man, I just think like he just looked electric on Monday. You know, the goal that he scored was that, like, get used to that as he continues on as a member of the Flames. Like, this guy's ability, and I saw one thing that I saw that you noticed, and I'd never seen Zane play up close and personal before, right? You know, I saw him a little bit in the Memorial Cup and winning the whole thing with Saginaw, and I'd seen him play on TV, but I'd never seen him play in a game of this, you know, high leverage game like this before up close and personal. And so watching that guy get pucks through traffic is elite. And probably already at an NHL level.
Oh yeah.
One of the most difficult things to do. Like, how many times did fans criticize, and I hate to pick on him, but like, always got calls about how Gio would always fire shots right into the shin pad. And that's not a Gio thing. That's a most defenseman thing. Best guy on the team right now getting pucks through is probably Uyghur. Everybody, you know, kind of razzes him,
fun of him a little bit,
but it gets through, and that's why he scores. Maybe his shot isn't as hard as like Michael Stone's was, but it gets through. Well, Parikh's shot is hard, and it is a laser beam that has eyeballs. And so the amount of times that we saw him get pucks through traffic and clank off posts, all three games you saw it. And we saw it a couple of times on Monday, hit one post through a bunch of traffic, and then a few minutes later is when Battaglia made a really good play, set up Lipinski, and then Parikh just walked down Main Street and fired it and ripped it past the goalie. So his shot and his ability to get that shot on is really impressive. But the skating, the puck handling, the confidence, like, he was just electric on Monday.
Well, a lot of that goes to it, and kudos to you for mentioning it on Monday's broadcast. Because he has that ability, and this is what made him a number 9 pick. He has that ability to navigate the top of the zone using his hips and shoulders, and he'll be able to open up and scoot across the line, and he'll drop a little shoulder fake, which gets the forward coming out to him to bite a little bit and hesitate. Then he's able to move over just a little bit more and create that time and space for himself to get the lane, shoot, or what I find more impressive, decide not to shoot based on what the traffic kind of looks like in front of the net as well. That's one of the calling cards to his game, his skating and his deception and his ability to sort of manipulate his body to protect the puck as he moves up the ice is one of the significant things in his game. But once he's in zone, his ability to sort of work laterally across the top of the blue line with confidence and open up those lanes to shoot is one of those NHL-ready skills. I'm not calling his entire game NHL-ready, far from it. And among the top defensemen in the 2024 class, Parikh is probably likely, depending on how development paths go, because nothing's linear, nothing's unique. But he was projected to have perhaps the slowest adjustment to the NHL when you look at Saleyev, Dickinson, Bouillon, so on and so forth, Levshinov. But there are elements in his game right now that are NHL level.
I also, like, and those smarts were on display too, because there was one point where he had another opportunity to get a puck through. He was kind of walking down Main Street and starting to go, and he was looking shoot and then fired a perfect no-look pass. And I don't remember who the pass was to, but it just got deflected last second by a Canucks defender. And you're like, geez, that's like, it just reminded me of a quarterback or an offensive coordinator when you're, you know, I compared it on the broadcast to play action. Like you've run it. And this is not Pat the football expert, but we all know how play action is used if you're a football fan. And that was the same idea. Like he was looking shot. He'd already beat Tolopila with a shot. And then instead of taking it, he looked off, and had it not got deflected at like the very last second, it would have been a grade A scoring opportunity. So, I was impressed by what I saw, and now let's see how it goes in main camp. I've definitely tempered my get him into nine games conversation, but that doesn't mean it could change. If he rapidly progresses the way he did this last weekend, let's see where the conversation goes in week two of training camp, I guess is what I'm saying.
See, and I'm less bullish on that as well. I don't think, based on what we've seen, and again, he's a quick study, so this will change, but I don't think he's ready for NHL games yet based on the small sample size that we've seen. But the other wrinkle that I kind of took away from the weekend is in conversation with Craig Conroy about, okay, the vets are all in a good headspace, and who knows where this thing goes if we get off to a good start. And if that's the mentality heading into the season, is who knows where this season can take us if we get off to a good start. I don't know if you have the opportunity or the luxury to gift an 18-year-old ice time in a game where you're ready to hit the ground running. But again, if he continues to show that he's a quick study and earns, if he's one of the top six defensemen coming out of camp from when it starts to where it ends, and he's able to ramp up that transition like we kind of saw over three games in Penticton, then I'm all for giving him games. But it is one of the secondary stories, I guess, I'll be keeping an eye on in camp based on how the competition is going to go on the blue line.
Just a couple rapid fire. Who is your favorite guy, or who is the most impactful guy from the 04 class in your mind?
The
24 class.
I'm going to go Basha. And I know you're going to disagree with me, and that's fine.
I don't disagree.
But I really liked what I saw in Andrew Bash's game.
I did too. I thought he was really strong. I'm not going to sit here and...
How dare you?
I just thought Gridden was the guy for me. Boy, is he slick and smart. Like, understated. Nothing.
Well, he's cerebral.
Flashy.
He's
absolutely
very cerebral.
A couple of plays he made, you're like, if you're not watching him closely, it probably goes unnoticed. Like, if you're not focusing on him during that any given shift, like a couple of just really deft deflection passes at the blue line, like through the legs and right on tape. He's really smart. He's got a good shot, great shot. So Gridden would be the guy that jumped off the page over three games most from the 24 class.
For me, he's not a guy that's going to go end-to-end and dangle, and you look at him and he goes, oh, okay, led the USHL in scoring, and he's a first-round pick, so why isn't he popping any more than he is? And then you look at the score sheet at the end of the game, and he's like, oh, he's got 3 points.
Yeah.
That's the kind of player, for me, that he is.
Really like Gridden. I thought Basha was good, too. Misa was a nice surprise. Like,
really good showing from the 2024 class, sort of.
Agreed.
Across the board.
Battaglia was sneaky good,
Jameson
too.
Was good for what his role was and what he was asked
Calgary,
to do.
The Calgary kids, Basha and Jameson. Jameson, I think, really helped steady Parekh, too, because he played
absolutely
with Parekh for two games. Okay, last one. From Young Stars, who is the guy you're most excited for come main camp?
I'm going to go Stromgren, because I do think he's got an opportunity to play NHL games this season, perhaps the most out of anybody from the Young Stars Classic. So I'm interested to see. To me, he was pretty dominant physically and was able to accomplish a lot of things against his peers, but I want to see him against a higher level of competition now. And that's not me saying that, you know, he's going to make the team right out of camp. I don't know if that's necessarily the expectation I would put on him, but I want to see him have a really good camp and put himself in a position to play games at some point.
Very similar reasons, but Brustevich, for me, I thought he was really good in the two games he played. They rested him for the third game because, like, you don't need to prove anything here. You're coming to main camp. You're playing American League this year, and I think that he's a guy who could see NHL games this year as well. And same idea. Come to camp, and are you going to make the team out of camp? Maybe not. Do your best to try to make that happen, but Pristevich, I'm really interested to see in some preseason games and how his game translates now against the very best in the world, road game, stuff like that. Young Stars 2024 in the books for another year. Pat and Vickers along with you back in Calgary. We've been in Penticton for the last few shows, now back in Calgary, and we're coming at you this hour from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.